Okay, it's yet another beautiful Saturday morning. Good morning, folks. And welcome to Personal Finance Today live on Star 103.5 FM. This is day number 25 in the month of March 2017. Many thanks to Frema and her team for bringing us health and wellness. Today it was on tuberculosis. I guess you learned a lot from there. Health is wealth, they say. So once we've taken the health bit, it's now time to take the wealth bit. In the studios with me, as usual, my co-pilot, the brain box, the chartered accountant, the chartered tax advisor, the investment banker, and the co-founder of Ann Street Africa, Kingsley Ajenku Hayford. Well, you'll be hearing him pretty shortly. My name is Kennedy Mona, and last week we dealt with how to achieve your New Year's financial and investment resolutions. Yes, and that was financial implications of owning a personal vehicle. And getting to the tail end, Kingsley churned out some statistics about what it is that is entailed in owning a vehicle. It was scary if you monitored the fuel, the maintenance, and all that. And how much you would have earned if you had decided to postpone buying that personal vehicle for like 5 years or 10 years. How much would have accrued? How much wealth you would have created? It was mind-blowing. And I enjoyed that bit. And today we're going to bring it back. He's going to churn out more statistics on what it is. Now today on the practical class segment, we'll be speaking to a sociologist. I mean, he's going to tell us what it is that triggers, you know, people to want to live beyond their means, to want to acquire wealth, and to want to belong. And so the topic for today is financial implications of personal lifestyle. So once again, let me say good morning and welcome to Personal Finance Today. We cannot move on without acknowledging our partners in this business, and that has to do with TTL Capital and then Ann Street Africa. Now, TTL Capital, your reliable investment advisor and fund manager, introduces to the Ghanaian market the TTL Income Haven Fund, a medium-term open-ended mutual fund licensed by the Securities and the Exchange Commission of Ghana. TTL Income Haven Fund is a collective investment scheme that mobilizes funds from investors for investment in money market instruments. With a minimum of 50 Ghana cedis, you can open an account to be a shareholder of TTL Income Haven Fund. Top up your investments at any time with a minimum of 20 Ghana cedis. Enjoy superior net returns with a current annualized yield of 27.16%. Now, any amount from 50 Ghana cedis invested now is likely to earn 27.16 Ghana cedis in 1 year. That's 27.16% in 1 year. And there are no entry charges to invest in TTL Income Haven Fund. Investors enjoy professional management of their investment, and investors can withdraw their investment anytime by giving a 24-hour notice. For further details, call TTL Capital Limited on 0302-201-222 or 0577-680-810. We are located at Farah Avenue, at Abraka, between the Trust Towers and Hotel President. Visit our website at www.ttlcapital.com. TTL Capital, invest today, secure tomorrow. Now, is your business facing financial challenges, and do you need financial advice to improve on your business model and cash flow? Then talk to Ann Street Africa, a financial, tax, and investment consulting group with a dedicated team that will diagnose your business and offer customized financial and business solutions to you, covering financial tax advisory and transaction opinion services, transaction tax and tax planning advisory services, business valuation services, corporate strategy advisory services, financial and operational due diligence services, business restructuring services, enterprise training services, finance and investment professionals recruitment services. For further inquiries, please visit our offices on the second floor of Caesar Plaza, Highways Ashalibotre, Madina, or call 026-5424-487 or 050-639-7405. You can also visit our website at www.anstreetafrica.com. Ann Street Africa, your trusted financial advisor. Kingsley, good morning.
Good morning, Ken.
How was your week?
By the grace, I have life.
Yeah.
Everything is in place.
You know one funny thing, each time or any time we close from here every weekend, every Saturday, the next thing that I try to aim at is I try to look for avenues that can help me improve my residual income. Exactly.
Yes.
You know, it gives me a sense of pride, a sense of joy to know that probably I'm doing the right thing thanks to your teachings here on Personal Finance Today. And I believe that we're carrying our listeners along as well. And today we have a lot of questions that we'll be dealing with. And so it means that you have to get your model ready, because a lot of people are asking questions about how much they would have to put aside if they have this amount, how much it will yield in 10 years, in 5 years, and all that. And I think that you should get ready for them today. And would also, as I indicated, get to the personal, that's the practical class along the line. But this morning, we are discussing the financial implications of personal lifestyle. Let me begin first by asking you whether personal lifestyle is a trap and a threat to our financial situation.
Thank you very much, Ken, and also to my listeners. It's been a journey for some time. It's been interesting. Like I said, to make money, you ought to learn, you ought to educate yourself. Similarly, to get any skill, I mean, people spend 2 years doing MBA, 4 years to 6 years for PhD. And so therefore, to make money, you must certainly have some level of financial education and must be a dedicated one. The issue of whether financial life is a trap in terms of our financial situation. You know, Ken, let me put it this way. You see, our personal expenses are largely driven by our lifestyle. That is, taste and preferences in life. And for me, lifestyle is a habit, an attitude, or a taste that put together determine the way a person lives or a group of people lives. The kind of choices that we make in terms of taste and preferences gives us various financial options, and it can actually put you in a very bad situation. It can threaten your financial security. And so on the basis of that, lifestyle could move into a trap. You see, I've come to a point, there are instances when you talk to the older generation and they will tell you, oh, I have enjoyed before. You see, it's deep. And I think the youth or the young ones, I don't know whether they are really examining that kind of statement. I have enjoyed before. So it means that now there's a challenge. There's a financial threat. And sometimes these are all due to a lifestyle. If somebody says I've enjoyed before, it means that he or she made the money, took some financial decisions or lifestyle decisions, and now the person is in that situation where he or she is no more enjoying. Now, when it comes to lifestyle, there are about five groups of people that I want us to categorize and see, linking them to the financial situation. Whether it's a trap. Number one group is this. Those through their parents who have enjoyed certain kind of lifestyles, and now because of the parents cannot afford that particular lifestyle, they are now facing serious financial challenges. That is one group, because of their parents. The second group is those who...
Kingsley, take that again.
The first group,
yeah.
When it comes to lifestyle and financial implications, there are about five groups. And this morning, I wish my listeners will look into their life and see where they belong. And then from there, they can deploy strategies to manage their lifestyle. I'm not saying that whatever lifestyle you have chosen is bad or good, but you see, the moderation, the way you go about it, that is all we are trying to say. Now, the five groups. Number one, I said group one, those through their parents have enjoyed a certain kind of lifestyle. Everything that you can put to it, where travels, holidays, best place, sleeping in the best kind of home, enjoying everything. But for some reason now, their parents cannot afford it. Now they are in serious financial challenges because they cannot continue the same lifestyle. Remember, taste and habit, when acquired, takes time to recover. Number two group, those through marriages, you see, through marriage, have enjoyed certain privileges. You see, you may be coming from a poor home, and for some reason you meet a rich lady or gentleman, and by virtue of association in marriage, you come to enjoy things. From boys' quarters to five-bedroom apartment, from a certain village to cantonment or East Legon or somewhere, immediately you move to a certain class, and then you start enjoying. And then, because of marriage, by divorce or by widowhood, it throws you back into financial challenge. That is one group. Marriage can move you into a certain lifestyle. At the same time, by divorce or by widowhood, if you not manage well, can put you a certain lifestyle and can have financial challenges.
Or if you go and misbehave at some point.
Misbehave at some point, they'll fire you.
Yeah.
Once they fire you, you go back with your one back, exactly. The check back.
Exactly.
That you came
with. The Ghana must go.
The Ghana must go.
Before you come to the third group, Kingsley, let me announce that listeners can join us with your messages. Like I said today, we have tons of messages that we'll be dealing with, but you can still send some in via our WhatsApp line, which is 0262-518-268, 0262-518-268. Let me also announce that we are streaming live on Facebook, and so you can watch us via www.facebook.com/star1035fm, and then you would watch us live. Yes, Kingsley, so let's go to group three.
Group three, those who have enjoyed certain privileges in life, but because of their attitude or lack of discipline to set financial goals and achieve them, now they are in a very bad financial situation. You see, and then the group four, those who have inherited wealth from their families but have not been able to manage the wealth very well, and now facing serious financial challenges. A typical case could be somebody handed over about maybe 4 or 5 houses in very strategic areas, and for some lifestyle attitudes have to sell them to engage in that lifestyle, and today he's in a certain kind of area. And sometimes those are the group of people who say that, look, I've enjoyed before. You know, that statement is so deep. And I wish a lot of people would avoid that. The group five, which is very intriguing, that is another area that I really want us to look at. Those through a good job after school or setting up their own business now enjoy certain privileges. Now, because of loss of job or business slowdown, they are in certain kind of financial challenges. Why am I my focus here? Because majority of us, if it had not been education and gone to school, there are certain cars you cannot drive. There are certain houses you cannot buy. There are even food, certain kind of restaurant you cannot go. The danger in this situation is this. I've seen a lot of people. They said, oh, I did not go to the best of schools, and so for me, my children, I want to make sure they go to this big school or that big school, pay in dollars. Look, it is good. But the question is it sustainable? Because if you cannot sustain that kind of lifestyle for your children, they will end up coming back to square one. Because now, we've gotten to a stage in life that it is not enough saying that I'm working with this as a civil servant, I'm working with this private sector company. Look, with a private sector, just you can go to work in the morning and by the evening you are fired. Because sometimes you want to speak your mind. Not that you've done something bad. Somebody may not like you. It can happen. You may disagree with somebody on an issue, for that matter, or a matter of principle. Even for showing integrity, the company wants you to do A, which is wrong. By principle, You say, no, I will not do it because I stand by where I stand.
Yeah.
And for that matter, you are fired. And that comes back to question it. Can you live without job for 3 months? And so, whatever lifestyle you introduce your children to...
I think mostly they say it's even advisable that once you lose your job, you should have accrued something that can last you in the region of 6 months, where you can still probably live comfortably, and then while seeking another job if you so desire. And so for me, I think that it's a matter of taking a look at what you can put aside should the unforeseen happen today in terms of your job. Then you know that, okay, I'm still a bit grounded, well grounded financially to be able to, as we move on, whilst I look elsewhere for another job.
It is interesting. Even the 6 months, sometimes your job search can travel beyond 6 months and 1 year.
Yeah.
When you hit the 2 years, trust me,
the frustration starts setting in.
If you're not, you lose it all.
Yeah.
And so it's important that people look at their lifestyle. Like I said, even if you are a poor person, like I said earlier, you are born into a family by poverty can pick you from there. Your country, your location, your educational system can make you poor. But once you get out of that situation, you should always remember where you are coming from. People then change. Now you ask friends, people that I know, you ask, oh, now I eat at Moving Peak. There's nothing wrong about that. Oh, now I eat at African Region. There's nothing, and they give names.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong. I'm not saying don't do it.
Yeah.
But if you can once a while, if you could be there just to have a feel of life, you know, once a while you change.
Yeah.
Your, but to be consistent, there are people that they have lunch at Moving Peak or certain kind of certain locations.
Yeah.
Lunch. And let's say a buffet is about 100 Ghana cedis or 150 Ghana every month, multiplied by 30 days. And you can imagine the kind of investment that they are putting. Such group of people. There are people who are even driving vehicles that are alone.
Yeah.
And they seem so excited about driving alone, a vehicle that's on loan.
Yeah.
Sometimes, even your position, they give you a vehicle.
Yeah.
There are people, by their position, they give you what you call an apartment.
Yeah.
By your position, they can locate you somewhere. Your house can be in East Legon or Cantonment or Joel or certain executive area just because of the job you have. And that places a certain like kind of lifestyle.
Mm.
Look, immediately you are fired, what happens?
Yeah.
Sometimes you cannot even explain.
You lose all those privileges,
You cannot even explain to your colleagues.
Yeah.
Then some of them move into 419. They change their talk. Oh, I'm doing this. Currently, I'm into some financial. Sometimes that.
Some can
create call card.
Yeah.
Call card. They can even call an executive chairman of something that does not exist.
Yeah.
It is lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I'm trusting that our listeners will take a look at their lifestyle.
Mm.
Remember where you are coming from.
Yeah.
Look, there are people that, for now, they've not been able to tell their children even the kind of primary school they attended, the secondary school they attended, Kojokrom, Kwame Krom, difficult situation, and by the grace of God, today, they are where they are.
Mm.
Let your children understand the issues. I'm not saying that starve them. No. Look, if you're paying $3,000 or $5,000, I'm not saying, if your income can support it, why not? Because we are saying that lifestyle must be supported by sustainable income. And so if you can sustain it and at the same time keep the future going, then I don't have a difficulty. But if you are paying $5,000 for your child's school fees, that is a whole business. That is a whole residual income from a business. 5,000 times 4 is 20,000. That is a whole business. Somebody in the 5,000 to have a business, and you are pumping that alone into your child education. I'm not saying it's wrong. Watch this. We've gotten to a time and a period whereby having education is not enough. Look, go to the banking sector. A teller, some tellers have MBA, finance, MBA, project management. So who becomes the chief executive? And who becomes the general manager? Who becomes the CEO? Who becomes the manager? So there is competition, very competitive. And so it's not so when you say, oh, I want to give her the best, give her the best education, but I'm looking forward to whereby after the school, you have 3 kids, and God has blessed you about $4 million, and you share to them take 1 million each. Your dream starts. What is it that you have in mind?
Yeah.
So now it's not enough education, but the question is what businesses are they going to run? Either they work for somebody or they create their own businesses. So lifestyle is critical, and if not checked, it will affect you. I've said earlier that, again, to make wealth, you need knowledge. That's why we are discussing some of these things. We'll be going further into the typical lifestyles,
yes,
where it throws financial challenges.
Very well. Kingsley, yesterday I got a message, a WhatsApp message from some friends, and this example is in Nigeria, but I think that it's very relevant here. Okay. In our situation, it says in 1990, Shina Peters built a house with 20 million naira. The same year, Jim Ovia started Zenith Bank with the same amount. As this today, you and I don't have a room in Shina's house, but I have an account in Jim's bank, and probably you do too. Shina's house was built in Iju, Lagos, and remains there till date. Jim's bank started in a corner and now has over 500 branches in Nigeria and many other international branches. Millions upon millions transact business in James's bank daily. Shina's house is becoming dilapidated. In 2015, he spent more money to renovate the house and bought a Nissan Pathfinder with 10 million naira. Additional liability. While in the same 2015, James's bank made a profit of 105.7 billion naira. Now, Zenith Bank employs hundreds of thousands and feeds their families. I'm not in any way trying to disparage the personality of Sir Shina Peters. He's a great man in his own right and well respected. I only wish to demonstrate the difference between an investment and a liability, and the long term impact of a single financial decision. If you buy a car for 20 million naira today, in 20 years' time, you will be ashamed to drive it. On the other hand, if you invest the same amount in a lucrative business or in an asset, it may be worth billions in 20 years. Jim Ovia is now worth $980 million with the official dollar rate at 320 naira to a dollar. That means that he is worth 313 billion naira because of an investment of 20 million naira. You know, and spend the little money you have today wisely. Some people driving expensive cars today are not aware that they are driving their future and the future of their children. Some people carrying iPhone 7 today may not be aware that they are carrying their future. When you are young, don't spend money, invest it. Every penny in your hand is like a seed. You can decide to eat it or sow it. When you sow it, it will bear much more seeds later in future. Your earnings will not make you rich, no matter how much you earn. It is your investment that will make you rich. This is why many top musicians, celebrities, and sportsmen of yesterday are broke today. They think their earnings is wealth. But once their earnings dry up, their expensive lifestyle quickly bankrupts them. On the other hand, investments never dry up. Whether you are awake or sleeping, retired or active, your investment keep pouring money into your account. This is the simple secret with why the rich gets richer. Rich people invest money in assets. Average people spend money on liabilities. Learn this lesson well, and your later years will be golden.
Yeah, I think
it's a very typical.
This is a typical
classic example. Yeah.
Classic example. Yeah. Like I said earlier, now that in these times, it's not enough saying that I'm educating my children in that expensive manner, or I'm buying properties in this manner so that they can enjoy it, so that I didn't have it. No. Give them education. I'm not saying that it's too expensive.
Yeah.
Give them. And then create the future. Like a typical situation.
Exactly.
No, there are a lot of people who say, oh, I'm not an entrepreneur. I don't have a problem. We need to move into our partnerships.
Yeah.
Look, your friend could be an entrepreneur, and you could be the financier. And so therefore, he drives the business, and you support financially. So that the marketing and the business development and the strategy, you do it, and you have your role.
Yeah.
Probably you may be the accountant.
Mm.
Keep the records.
Sure.
He does the business development side. He does the strategy side.
Yeah.
And so the issue has that here is that I want a lot of people to now move into partnership. I know now it is difficult to find good people,
yeah,
but that is why it's important that as a person you have a critical mindset,
yeah,
and analyze people and determine, and also use legal means,
yeah,
to do your documentation, so that if there's something you can refer to document,
yeah,
don't sign things and give to people just, oh, he's my friend, but put some documents on it at least for tomorrow.
Yeah, sure.
So on the back of that, you'll be able to partner with people and may do some level of investment for the future.
Kingsley, we'll come back to our second question, which has to do with whether there are lifestyles that present financial challenges to people and threaten their financial security. And then when we get to that bit, I would want you to incorporate what the figures, the statistics that you were churning out last week with regards to, you know, when one owns a personal vehicle, the kind of spending that you'll have to do on that particular vehicle, or when someone defers buying a vehicle in the first 5 or 10 years of his working life, how much would accrue to that person. It's 7:30. We'll go for the practical class pretty shortly, but before then there are some messages here. This one is from Kukwa Jane on Facebook. She says, it's a good show I look forward to every weekend. Kukwa, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We hope you are learning as well, and that you always have a pen and paper on hand, you know, in hand, to take down the notes and then to try to create some wealth for yourself. Richmond Lamte on Facebook also is also watching live from Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. Richmond, thank you very much. We wish you well. Do take good care of yourself, and then ensure that you create some residual income and create wealth. I would keep churning out the figures and keep teaching you what to do to ensure that you render yourself financially sufficient and independent. Kofi Into on Facebook says, great work, Kofi. We thank you very much. Keep watching and keep listening and keep taking notes as well. You guys are doing a very amazing job by teaching things that are not even taught in the universities. Thank you, Mr. Kingsley and Mr. Ken. This is from Dennis in Pukwasi. Dennis, thank you very much. Keep listening in. You can also send us a message via WhatsApp line 0262-518-268, and we would address them. We also remind you that we are streaming live on Facebook, www.facebook.com/star1035fm. We go for our practical class, which is brought to us. We spoke to Mr. Justice Sion, who is a lecturer of sociology at the African University College of Communications, and he tells us what he thinks that are some of the factors that triggers people to want to live beyond their means. Once that is done, we'll be back and we'll continue with the show.
First of all, people will live beyond their means if in satisfying their basic necessities, their means are not enough. Then certainly you are expected to live beyond your means. You have to get food, shelter, those basic needs. So if my earnings cannot provide that basic needs, then I have to provide those basic needs. You know, logically and naturally, I have to find other sources to augment. And most of the time, it's not the cherished sources that people look up to. So sometimes, you look on the pay slips of workers, and they have a whole lot of financial institutions on it. It's because sometimes what they earn can simply not just provide for their basic needs. That group of people are there. Then we have people who are beyond this bracket. The association with others, their exposure to other lifestyles, they can just not find it. Well, you are looking at somebody wearing a very expensive clothes and you feel like wearing it, but it costs for the money or the finance to get it first. So you see them making other arrangements to get those things. I'm talking about people who could have lived a normal life with the little at the end, because they want to copy people in the other bracket who have the means to live that lifestyle. Because you want to copy their lifestyle and your means is not supported by the amount to pay for it, then you are going to have the problem. Because it is a competition, you want to live above whoever is the highest in that bracket. And certainly, then you will be depleting your finances. Even though you have what society can look at it as enough, you might still not have enough because of what you are doing in terms of competing over lifestyle. So the latest car comes and your colleague buys it. You don't want to buy the same car. You want to buy what is more expensive than that. So even though you are earning what in normal sense can take care of all your needs, but the consequences of trying to live beyond your means is that, and I can tell you that if you go within these suicide issues very well, you find out that people have accumulated debts that is so huge for them, and they don't fathom when they can pay it, and they think if they end their life, that is it, that will be okay. Very respectable people are behind bars now, leaving their families and other things behind, because they just attempted to live above their means. So corrupt practices, they like, plain stealing, all the criminals that we are finding. So some of them are stealing not because they want to have basic needs, but you see, because they want to acquire a particular lifestyle which they can't have the means anywhere. And that is the cost to themselves and the society. The deviance that behavior is pushing people into. People are holding people at gunpoint and taking their properties. Not because they don't have what to eat. Not because they don't have the letter to take care of themselves. But because they are aspiring to a lifestyle that they don't have the means. So they have to rob others. Very respectable people in very respectable positions are robbing the country. In fact, they are raping the country of all their of its resources. Because even though the nation or the company or the organization is taking very good care of them, I don't know whether there's any CEO who will say that he's not receiving enough to take that for his or basic needs. I'm telling you that because there's some form of competition within that bracket, the organizations they work for are those suffering. Now, they are the very resources that they have to manage to see the growth of the organization. They are depleting it on their personal issue. And this is the cost of living beyond our means to the society and for that matter to the organizations we work for. If we don't start living a very moderate and very simple life, if we don't try telling people our very life which we possess can never be sustained or even increased by the wealth that we are acquiring, people might think that having the biggest wealth is what is more important. So now, unlike our forebears who say good name is better than riches, people are not putting their riches before the good name, thinking that the rich rather can give them good name. We are talking about Sakawa. And I don't need to explain Sakawa to anybody, but you know what it is. And you ask yourself, as young as 19 years, I mean, what position do they want to acquire in terms of finance? That they are indulging in all this kind of practice, what is to happen is the push to live beyond our means. Because certainly these are children who may have somebody giving them their little, maybe pocket money to take care of them. And aspiring to live a lifestyle that is way, way, way above them is pushing them.
All right, Kingsley, so you had Justice Siao, who is a lecturer of sociology at the African University College of Communications, and these were the pointers he gave as to why people would want to live beyond their means and all that. What do you make of his assertions?
I think this is on point, and I think that is why this program is all about. It's about trying to get the issues. Like I said earlier, to make money and live well, you need financial education. Exactly. And this is part of it, where we look at the impact of lifestyle, what drives people to do what they do, whether they are copying or whether they are doing something that they don't even understand, only to get to the end of it and realize that they are not happy. So I think he's on point. And like you said, even currently the suicide issues, trust me, even the young ones who are dying, it will amaze you that he's looking for a phone and he's not getting. Instead of asking somebody or the father, because they cannot get it, why? Everybody's using phone and I'm not using, I don't have one. For that reason, he takes his life. So it's varied, and I'm trusting that the issue of wealth creation will be understood by people. Like I said earlier, there are principles. To make wealth is your income and expenses. Try and create surpluses. That is the only way. And the income must be generated genuinely. Genuinely. Underlined. And so when that is done, over a period of time, once you create surplus, and there's time frame, you make wealth. If you don't create it, you get deficit. And over a period of time, you have financial crisis. Like he said, people are behind bars because of financial crisis. People have died because of financial crisis. People have committed suicide. There are chief executives, business owners who cannot sleep. I pray for them that whatever, some of them have group of companies, they cannot count them. It's good, but you see, put in the structures. Don't stretch yourself. Don't overexpand. Overexpansion can destroy the company. Because look, one single transaction, for example, you may have about 5 companies, only to enter in an oil business. And it just
all the money,
a trigger
from all the
a trigger from the oil sector will wipe off. And remember, some of these shareholders or business owners go for bank loans to support and use every single asset to back the transaction, hoping that they will make it. You see, take a calculated risk and make sure that whatever you are doing, you deal within a more arranged, a more secured way so that you don't put the future of your children or the next generation into a very bad situation. Because one transaction alone will wipe off
everything.
So here's some point, and I think our listeners should take key interest in these discussions and change and get it right. Especially those who were poor many years ago, throughout their life they've not seen anything good, only to finish school and the job they landed on today they are doing well. Such people, you can't forget where you are coming from. Let your children know, let them understand the journey, and make sure that you don't feed them to the extent that they don't even know their left and right.
Alright, so let's move to our next question, and I would like us to do that because like I indicated earlier, Kingsley, you are aware we have so many messages that we would have to deal with this morning, and so you would have to get your module ready because a lot of people are asking about how much they would accrue to them in 5 years, 10 years, if they set aside a particular amount. And so I would like us to spend the next 5 minutes dealing with this issue of whether there are lifestyles that present financial challenges to people and threaten their financial security. And I also like us to bring back the statistics you churned out last week about the cost implications of owning a personal vehicle, and then what would accrue to our listeners if one decides to defer the purchase of a personal vehicle for 5 years or 10 years in the first working, when they start working, first working years of their working life, so that they would deal with that before we spend the rest of the 15 minutes dealing with the questions that people have sent in. I've seen the Morning Zoo team, they are ready, so we need to be a bit snappy this morning.
Yes, Ken, thank you very much. There are various financial lifestyles that present financial challenges, if not managed well. Like I said, I'm not saying it's not good. Some of them are not, some are good. Just manage them. Number one, overspending. People overspend. And so they take salary and they just have to spend. And then to the extent they have to borrow to finance. 1,000, but they end up spending 1,500. So therefore, the 500 difference puts you in a certain kind of situation which you need to manage. So overspending is one of them. That's why I said people should manage that, cut it, and create space for savings. Now, we also have what we call some people excessive eating outside. Like they crave, if they want to eat, even there are people, their wives will call them, today we are eating at this place.
Yeah.
I'm meeting you there. If you do this over a period of time, because the cost of cooking and the cost of eating outside,
there's a great difference. You make a lot of savings if you cook inside.
Once a while.
Yeah, if you cook at home.
Occasions.
Yeah.
But some people eat outside every day.
Yeah.
And that is expensive. Now, some people also drinking. Every evening they take
a bottle
of beer, drink, whatever. Sometimes it's not alcohol, even soft drink.
Yeah.
So that is also there. Also, our taste and preferences. Whatever taste you have can lead you to many financial challenges. We also excessive borrowing. Yes, if you borrow excessively, if it's for business, you do a calculated risk and you do it. Mortgage can kill you. You take a mortgage, you are not clear about how to finance it, it's a problem. You take a car loan, it's a problem. So you need to manage all of that. And then people like traveling, excessive traveling. Oh, I'm going to South Africa, from there I want to travel the whole of Europe. Do you have the budget for it? And if you do it, what will your financial situation be like? Will it be threatened? If yes, slow down. Maybe every year you travel one, that's fine. But to do 5 trips in a year, each of them paying $1,000 in and out, how can you control that lifestyle? Definitely you will find yourself in a financial situation. And every time you come back, you are hot. And then some people also like excessive partying. Even every birthday they will celebrate. I'm not saying don't celebrate. Thank God you are alive. Go and see someone else, but they will have to do party. Invite everybody. Huge cost. And also, some people also like apartment, executive apartment. They say, me, I cannot live here. This is where I belong.
I need to belong there.
Do you have the money to support where you belong? If you are not careful, you get all manner of financial crisis. Some people even buy mansions. I want to buy 5-7-bedroom apartment. It's good. Can you support it? All this will push you. And that's
it's one thing purchasing or buying it, and one thing maintaining. You know, even the cleaners alone that would have to deal with that big mansion.
It's not
the gardeners and all that. It comes with additional costs.
And we've seen a lot of celebrities outside Ghana.
Yeah.
I mean, being financial crisis. Another area which is interesting for me is not bad. Looking good is fine, but plan for it. Dresses and shoes. coats and the rest. There are women who buy yellow, pink bag, pink shoe.
Match, yeah.
Everything is matched.
Those are the fashionistas. They want to look on
the
point.
The gentleman, the same thing. But
time.
For me, I'm not saying that it's bad. Mm. Plan for it. Yeah. And just do it. And if even for men, if about 10 shirts, it can take you the whole year, 3 years, 4 years. Yeah. So why would you buy? So these are the issues. And also, for example, excessive mobile usage, mm-hmm. communication, yeah. is part of lifestyle. Mm. And then also vehicle,
yeah.
whether it is for necessity or luxury. Mm. All these things pushes you into a financial situation.
Yeah.
For example, now, we were talking about last vehicle. Exactly. Here, vehicle comes, it's a lifestyle.
My point of interest, yeah.
Yes. You see, Ken, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Let's put this assumption. Mm. Let's assume that you graduate from the university. Yeah. 25-year-old guy. Mm. You come out and say, I want to work. Mm. And then, opportunity, car loan is there. When you join a company, say, we have a car loan. Mm. And most of the favorite vehicle that people buy, young people can buy, is about 40,000.
Yeah.
That's the Toyota Corolla. Mm. So I'm working with that assumption
yeah.
that it costs 40,000.
Yeah.
Now, if you invest the 40,000 for 10 years,
yeah.
it means if you defer the purchase of the vehicle for 10 years,
yeah.
it will, and you invest that 20%, you get 247,000.
Yeah.
669 40,000 invested for 10 years at 20%.
Yeah.
If you do the analysis, that's what you get. Let's say 240,000. Mm. Just average.
Yeah.
That's 40,000
yeah.
for 10 years. Now, remember again that when you buy the vehicle, you maintain the vehicle.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming the vehicle of that type, it will cost about 3,000 Ghana to maintain for the whole year.
Yeah.
And that 3,000 for a year, for 10 years, is what, 30,000. So if you add 30,000 to the 240,000, you have what, 270,000
yeah.
maintenance addition. Now, the next critical point is also fuel, because you cannot drive the vehicle without fuel. Assuming you use 2 gallons per day, and it costs you 15 Ghana cedi. You remember, Sunday we go to church. Saturday yeah. we move around. So you can't take the days out. You are moving. You're on the move. Especially if you're a lifestyle. Especially when you they don't see your vehicle, they ask you where is your vehicle. So therefore, you have to go with it. If it's 15 Ghana cedi for a gallon of petrol, 2 gallons a day,
yeah.
for a year, you are spending 10,950 on fuel alone. Mm. 10,950. That's for 1 year. So for, let's say 10 years, that's about 109,500
mm.
or make it 100,000.
Yeah.
If you add 100,000 to 270,000, you get that's what? 370,000.
Yeah.
The 40,000 is invested for 10 years for 240.
Yeah.
The maintenance for 3,000 annually for 10 years is 30,000.
Yeah.
And the fuel is about 10,000 for 10 years. You are getting 370,000. Now, assuming that you do insurance is part of it, roadworthy.
Yeah.
Let's say 500 a month, 500 a year.
Yeah, yeah.
For 10 years, it's about 5,000.
Yeah.
So technically, if you put all together, you are hitting, let's say, around, even these figures I gave on maintenance and the fuel and insurance,
mm.
I did not even add the investment rate.
Right.
These are the principal.
Yeah.
So if you do that averagely, you hit about 370,000,
mm.
and when you add the interest rate on that side,
yeah.
let's say on the raw score, 400,000. Now imagine you're a young guy, 25 years,
mm.
just deferring the purchase of vehicle to about 35 years, 10 years,
yeah.
you raise about 400,000. Guess what you can do? You can buy the vehicle.
Yeah.
Now when you buy, you can maintain.
Yeah.
You can, because of 400,000.
Yeah.
Let's say if you buy a vehicle of 100,000, a quality one, than
sure.
than
what
that,
you would have bought, yeah.
what you bought.
Yeah.
You can also get a 2-bedroom apartment for 100,000.
Yeah.
And then the 200,000, if you are ambitious and given the way the world is going, and the fact that there's no job security, question is, after 10 years of a decade of working, you could have picked skills, knowledge, and new ideas, and then you can start your business at 35 years.
Yeah.
Investing about 100,000 in it,
yeah.
and investing the other half in some liquid investment to cushion you.
Yeah.
guess if you are going to marry around 35 years, guess which lady will not marry you?
Yeah. Because you're already secured.
Perfect. Yeah. Even if you're a lady and you do similar, guess which gentleman will not follow you? Because you've planned your life. Another interesting one, when I did it, it blew me off. Mm. Those who can afford the executive ones, let's say you get to a manager position and they say they can give you a car loan 150,000. Yeah. I say, wow, I'm going for it. 150,000. If you invest 150,000 for 10 years at 20%, you are getting 928,000. Close to a million.
Yeah.
Guess which of the top managers in this country owns 1 million.
Yeah.
Now, if you buy fuel, again, on the same analysis, let's say the vehicle maintenance will move from 3,000 to about 6,000, double of it.
Yeah.
If you 6,000 for 10 years is 60,000. If the same fuel is maintained, even though it will be more, depending on how 2 gallons is, not, that's the minimum. You get the same 10,000, that's about 100,000. And then if your insurance is about 1,000, that's 10,000. So if you add 10,000 to 100, that's 110. Plus 60,000, that's 170,000. Plus 928. A million.
Yeah.
About 1.1 million. Look.
That's big money.
That is big money. Yeah. That is the kind of money I'm expecting a top level manager.
Yeah.
Today. Yeah. They should all quit their job and start their businesses with 1 million.
Yeah. And allow the fresh graduates
to come in.
Yeah.
They need a job.
Yeah.
Every senior manager, from the banks to manufacturing to every sector today, after working for 10 years, 15 years, if you do not have 1 million, then this is a serious matter. Why? Because all of them are driving executive vehicles, costing 150,000 Ghana cedi. And so therefore, I'm not saying their income, this is just a vehicle. They are living their future now.
Sure.
This is a very serious matter. Now, on the same lifestyle, let's come to even the simple ones. The cost of drinks. Somebody takes drinks every day. Every day. Now, imagine that person earns a salary of about 400 Ghana cedis. Somebody who earns a salary of 400 Ghana cedis. And he takes drink every day. One drink. Maybe a bottle of drink. Whether soft drink. 2 cedis per bottle.
Yeah.
For a year, it's 365.
Some people don't drink just one. No.
Let me, I'm doing the minimum. So we are starting from, if the minimum is scary, then the other ones are serious.
Some people can drink 5 bottles of beer, 6 bottles of beer.
So let's assume you take soft drink, which is 2 cedis per bottle, every day. Because it's a habit. Remember, lifestyle is a habit.
Yeah.
And you receive a salary of 400 Ghana. Now, 2.5 cedis, 2 cedis 50% times 365 days gives you 912 Ghana cedis, close to 1,000.
Yeah.
That's how much you spend on drinks alone.
Yeah.
Now, the salary of 400 Ghana cedis a month, the annual figure is 4,800.
Yeah.
Now, if you compute the percentage of the cost of the drink, 912.50%, that's against the 4,800.
Yeah.
It comes to 19% of your annual income.
Okay.
That is going to just soft drink. 19%.
Yeah.
Similarly, if somebody who earns 500 Ghana cedi a month and buys airtime, 2 cedis a day, you know, now the mobile phones it's become part of people.
Yeah.
They can't do without it.
Exactly.
When they wake up and their phone is not ringing, there's something wrong. They don't feel okay.
Yeah.
They have to call somebody. Sometimes you feel like calling somebody.
Yeah.
And you call. Let's assume you earn 500 Ghana cedis and you spend 2 cedis a day on airtime. For 365 days, it's 730 Ghana
cedis
for a year.
Mm.
Now, 500 Ghana cedis annually for a salary is about 6,000 cedis annual.
Yeah.
If you compute the 730 Ghana cedis on the 6,000, it's 12.16% of your income annual. You see, we've not spoken about other costs. This is airtime.
Mm.
Now, if you compute airtime and the cost of drink, if you add their percentage together, it gives you what? 34% of your income. So those with a salary range of 400 Ghana, 500, that is what the damage they are doing to themselves.
Yeah.
Engaging airtime.
Yeah.
And these are serious matters. Even those that are Gbogboloshi, they are doing the same thing. Everybody is using airtime.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that don't use it.
Yeah.
Plan, get your costs together. And these are issues that I expect people to look at.
Very well, Kingsley, we don't have much time. Let's take these messages and then we'll probably have to, because the way GQ and Sami B are looking at us seriously, I'm sure they are, if we take a minute of their time, they will wahala. This one says, I earn close to 1,000 Ghana cedis. I'm a student and pay my own fees. I pay 100 cedis as my tithe. I pay 78 cedis as insurance for my parents. How can I manage after school, since I will be done with school in a few months' time? Though I have intentions of doing a top-up soon after. Rent is also a challenge, since my landlord wants his room back. Your advice will really do me a lot of good. There's no name here. Okay. I think this one is... There's no name attached. But I think Kingsley would address that. There's also this one that says... thank you for the good work. It's from Samuel Success Odami Labi on Facebook. Sammy, we thank you very much. Keep watching. Bismarck Autry on Facebook says, good stuff. Bismarck, thank you very much. We appreciate you. Charlie, Kingsley, let's address this guy's issue. One also says, you guys are doing a very amazing job by teaching things that are not taught in the universities. Thank you, Mr. Kingsley. My name is Freeman. Okay, Freeman, thank you. Okay, so the guy who sent the message is called Freeman. Freeman says, I earn close to 1,000 cedis and he's a student. He pays his own fees and he pays 100 Ghana cedis as his tithe and he also pays 78 cedis as insurance for his parents. How can I manage after school since I'll be done with school in a few months and I also have intentions of doing a top-up after school. Rent is also a challenge and the landlord wants his room back. What do you have to tell him?
I think first and foremost, he needs to sit down and do his income and expenditure analysis. Mm. He's indicated the income. Yeah. I think he didn't give the expenditure trends very well. Mm. Fine, the school fees is there, other things.
Yeah.
The good thing that he's going to get out of school any moment from now. Mm. And that is good. The cost of going to school will be off.
Mm.
What I would advise him is not to quickly go for top up.
Mm.
I believe that whatever knowledge acquired, the difficulty with Africans and the people, Ghanaians generally, everybody, is that how much have you been able to convert the knowledge that you have into cash flows?
Mm.
So therefore, whatever certificate you have now, work with it. Make money out of it so that it can pay the cost. You see, education is an investment. And so when you finish school and you cannot get the necessary income to support the amount you invested, then you have lost.
Yeah.
In finance, you do what you call MPV. Mm. That one is another matter. You do the analysis, whether it's positive.
Mm.
So therefore, I expect him that after school, if the same job he's doing, he should put in his hard work, probably be promoted, income will come, and then he should revise his expenses and see where he can cut and get back on track.
Right.
It's critical.
Very well. Kingsley, I don't think we can continue any further. We can't. We have messages from Sam from Tema, David in La Paz, Miriam from Shiashi, and then we also have this one from Frida in Amasaman. Frida, all you guys, we appreciate you a great deal. We would deal with these questions next week, I promise you, when we return. But we would have to start packing. You see, GQ is already walking into the studios. You want to do a quick one, Kingsley, before we wrap up?
Thank you very much, Ken. In conclusion, I want to let our listener to understand one thing. That the richest man in Africa, the black person in the world, Aliko Dangote, he made a statement, and I want everyone to get it right. He said, I built a conglomerate and he made the richest black man in the world in 2008. But it did not happen overnight. It took me 30 years to get to where I am today. The youth of today aspire to be like me, but they want to achieve it overnight. It is not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
That is what the richest man says. To build a successful business, you must start small. Tenacity of purpose is supreme. Page 68, Aliko Dangote, the biography.
All right.
Of Aliko. If you go there, you see it there. And this is what I expect our listeners to practice.
Mm.
It is not overnight.
Right.
Wealth is time.
Yeah.
Get it right.